So welcome everybody, it's Michelle, and this is our third and final call in the Letting Go series. It's June 17th, 2021, and we are gonna begin as we do with Shavasana. And as always, I suggest that you go camera off for Shavasana so you have video privacy so you can do your practice in the quietness of your own home or office, wherever you are, and then later on, camera on. So. Take a moment to adjust your position. So lying down if you can, if not, you can do a seated meditation. And just be aligned. So take the time to have your head on straight, literally. So head supported on a blanket or a pillow. And legs equidistant from the center line, arms equidistant from the center line. And oh my goodness, thank you. Got it. So anyway, hopefully that's better now. Hopefully you can hear me okay. So it's coming from, let me reposition this for you. Hopefully you can hear me now. So again, make yourself comfortable. And hopefully that's better for you now. So be aligned, be comfortable, be supported. Take the time to release and let go. Whatever it is that you've been holding on to today, leave it here. Any tension in the body, let go of any thoughts of your day, let go even of who you are, who you imagine yourself to be, let go of thoughts of chores or duties or action in the world, simply let the whole body release to the earth. In your muscles and your bones and every fiber of your being. Let go with your mind. Let the eyes sit back toward the back brain. The ears receive its in. So let ears and eyes point in the back brain. Withdraw the senses. This moment of this breath, feel like for you. Where is the back? Is it high in the chest or low in the belly? Just notice without judgment. Something. prophet arises, let go of it as soon as you notice it. And you notice just as the thought is beginning to form. This moment, letting yourself be fully in this next moment. Now that soon you'll be coming out of Shavasana. Softly open your eyes. Press yourself slowly up to sitting. Return to a virtual circle. And camera on whenever possible so that we can be fully present here together. All right. And as you're coming back, let me know how the sound is. I think that I might have been, let me see, let me just double check. Yeah, Andrea, did that get better? I had to unplug and then replug in to make that happen. And Tracy can hear me. Oh, no, it's bad. The sound is bad.
Yeah, all of a sudden it just kicked back in. It's like this sound, and then yeah.
Just rewire again. Yeah. Oh, okay. Is it still doing the funny thing?
I'm hearing it as well.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Is that different now? Better or worse?
Definitely better.
I don't know what was happening with it. And as you might notice, I'm in a different location, but now we've got the sound okay. We'll talk about that different location in a minute. So for some reason, my usual mic isn't working, but my, if I'm just on a speakerphone, like I'm just on It's working. So you guys can all hear? Thumbs up if you can hear okay. It's my usual system, different place, but usual system. Okay. Well, you can hear me now. Okay. Sound is clear. Okay. Fantastic. And Yvonne, I think we're good. So, all right. Let me know if that funny sound comes up again. And, you know, so I don't know if that was happening throughout Shavasana. And the funny thing, yeah, it was. You know, everything is practice. So my teachers teach me too. It's like, wow, how we think that, I know that this happens for me. I think that I've taught my mind. I think that I've let go of external things. I think that I'm in control. And one thing goes off in a way that I don't like. And then all of a sudden my mind is off. And so everything is a chance to practice. I don't like the sound, and sound is much worse than not being able to hear, not being able to see, right? I don't like the sound. Well, how can I be in that? Can I still be okay? Can I source that from inside myself? Because when we're building a company, of course I want to change the sound so it's better for you, right? But when we're building a company, there's always going to be, if you've ever run into something that was unexpected that you didn't like in your company or your life, raise your hand. Ever? So then the whole practice helps us let go. And here we are in the letting go series, right? Letting go of what we thought we needed, letting go of it to be perfect, letting go of what's even letting go, being spacious in our own minds. So if we notice that our minds are then reacting, and then we don't want them to react, and then we want it to be better and all that, even allowing spaciousness for that, it's like, hey, that's just what's happening now. And I'm okay with my mind being off, right? And this might be what you came for today, this one experience with the sound. Because again, if we think that, okay, I got this, I you know what, oh my goodness, this happened to me 5 years ago, just a little, 5 years and a little plus. I was in the midst of teaching the Letting Go series. And I'm like, I know this stuff. I've been teaching this for a long time. It can come up as ego, right? I'm really good at this stuff. I mean, I don't think I was thinking like that, but pieces of us thinking like that. And then my man died. I'm like, I thought I knew what letting go meant. Clearly the universe wants me to learn at a deeper level. I thought I knew. Wait, that was a surface level. What's the next level? I think I'm okay. And then there's some scratchy sound. Okay, well, what can I do with that? And how can I find that calm mind again? So thank you for working with it. Thank you for coming back to center with it. And then there might have been, you know, one big thing you didn't like about the Shavasana. There might have been other things distracting your mind, but there's something that you loved. What did you love about this practice? Let's hear from one or two of you. Yeah, Andrea.
So partially I love that I can hear, and I actually hear this when I do my meditations and stuff in the morning, is your voice saying, that's not important. Just let it go. And so this is not important right now. Just let it go. So when the static would come up, I was like, can I use this as part of the meditation? I'm like, I don't think so, but that's not important. Just let it go. So it was really neat. And I did hit a really good place with the, because I was sitting so more of a meditation than Shavasana. So thanks for that.
You know, like the universe, remember we talked about that last time, right? Heidi was there. You're all here for me. You know, like the universe conspires to support us sometimes in very unexpected ways. Right. So the next time there's something like that, that's distracting your mind, you're in the midst of speaking or you're meeting somebody or whatever. And that this moment comes back up for you. It's like, then I could do it now. And that could be the difference between somebody coming to work with you or not, being able to help that child or not, having a good time at a concert or whatever it is, now that we were starting to have those or not. And this could be what you came for. Fantastic. Thank you. Today. Let's hear from one more of you who would like to share next. What did you love? Great practice. 99 things I didn't like, or one is like driving my mind crazy. But when I look, there's something there that I love, and what I focus on expands. Who would like to share? Heidi, thank you.
Well, I couldn't fully hear you, and after flashing through, is it me? The resistance to it, I felt that, like, oh no. And then I thought, well, wait, that's showing me how grateful I am for all the times I can hear, all the times it is clear that I take for granted, or I did take for granted, and I'm not going to take that for granted anymore. And how wonderful is it when it is clear? And wonderful, that means that I'll just listen. And Andrea said this, I'll just listen to your voice, Michelle, and I trust that your intonation will tell me when I need to get up, but that I will rest. And it was an opportunity to then, okay, then I'll just rest and listen so to the beautiful. Sound of your voice.
So beautiful. Talk about embodying, letting go. You know, I don't really, but I almost wish I planned it. Not really. I want you guys to be able to hear, obviously, but you can't plan this stuff, you know, sometimes. I was just telling Yvonne yesterday about an exercise that I did at as a student where I was working with I was learning from a personal development training company. And one of the things they had us do was we were in a room of hundreds of people, and they made us, because of the exercise we were just about to do, everyone had to leave their glasses at the door. And like, we think that we're okay. We think that we're letting go. We think it's all okay. Like, I'm okay, but the sound has to be okay. I'm okay, but I have to know when to get up. And we need the circumstances to be just so. And then we're in a strategy session and somebody says something we don't like. And it's like, we've trained our mind to have certain circumstances. And so I had to leave my glasses at the door, and I'm practically functionally blind. I'm a minus 10 something. I can't see without my glasses. And so I thought, I'm okay with being vulnerable. I'm okay with do one little thing. And I'm like, what do you mean? And somebody else is in charge of my glasses. And if they don't take care of them, I can't see. I'm like, wow, more things to learn here just in removing my glasses, right? Change one little tiny circumstance. And then when we become more aware of that here, where else am I still hanging on that I haven't noticed? And where else is there an opportunity to get to not just this head knowledge, but that next level of letting go. And I'm seeing you guys doing that so beautifully. What an extraordinary community we have. What amazing souls each one of you is. You know, just that's beautiful. All right. And the taking for granted, what you said, Heidi, too. I went out to a restaurant, and then another one, the last couple of days. We're just opening up in Calgary, and I'm pretty COVID conservative. But these felt like safe places. And I've been in one restaurant otherwise because I had to, because I had a ride back home from the mountains. And I, hey, Michelle, will you come to the restaurant with us? It's an hour's drive over to your car. Yes, I'll come. So I'm pretty COVID conservative and hadn't been to a restaurant in 15 months with that one exception. And we think that we appreciate things. I thought I appreciated it. Like, and my daughter last night back in Calgary went to a restaurant. And it's like, when you haven't done something for a while, I think I'm appreciating it. Oh, what's that deeper level of it? Oh, will I, you know, universe, will you please have me always remember this? The appreciation of sharing a meal with a friend, the appreciation of clear sound, the appreciation for that's not important, let it go. And letting go is huge with that. It's a huge part of that appreciation. Because if I can't let go of the stuff that isn't quite the way I wanted it to be, I'm not going to be able to appreciate that now. Because there's just, and we've all heard the story of the, you know, I think it's in Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. It's somewhere in that series. You know, like, he has really poor friends, really rich friends, and it's not out of rich or poor, but some of them, he pitied them. It's like a billionaire friend, and his car temperature was 1 degree off, and he had a conniption fit, you know, like. No, I'm not saying we have to be rich or poor to do that. Like, don't hinge that on money, you know. But our lives are so constrained when we can't let go. When we can let go of that thing, whatever it is, and it's a moment by moment by moment practice, then the appreciation naturally arises because we're not hanging on to it needing to be a particular way. And when is it ever a particular way? We certainly learned that this year, right? So thank you. Beautiful observations. Beautiful. Bonus training on letting go and appreciation, right? And for me too. Anything else wanting to be said without which we cannot go forward? Anything else you're wanting to say? There's always time. Letting go of the need for it to be exactly at that time in that way. Always time. Okay. A couple of announcements. Let me just head over here. All right. They're not usually on my computer. They're usually beside me. So, all right. We have 2 full day retreats coming up. Please be sure to mark the dates. Sales Story is next Thursday, June 24th from 10 to 4 Mountain Time. Please don't just book off 10 to 4 Mountain Time. Please give yourself the gift of letting go of everything else you're doing that day. Book off from first thing in the morning to first thing at night. That's when we'll be actively together, which you're going to want the whole day. And here's another letting go practice. Like, well, I can't because I have to do this and this and that. What would it be like to let it go? So please give yourself the gift of that time. So that's sales a story Thursday, June 24th next week, then marketing a story, another full day, Thursday, July 8th from 10 till 4. And it's in the chat. So we also have a survey that we would like you to fill out. If you could complete it by Monday, June 21st at 5 p.m. And again, that will, thank you, Yvonne. I know you're going to put that in the chat for people. A survey for sales, a story. It will help you consider the areas, you know, within sales that you struggle with, and where is it you want to improve your mastery? What are you bumping into about sales? And, you know, so you'll want to take the time to get that snapshot for yourself about what's going on with sales. And if we're not selling things in our company, and whether we're a nonprofit, an MLM, we have our own, you know, we have our own company in the various ways we do. If we're not selling stuff, we have a hobby. We don't have a business. A nonprofit has to be, you know, people are donating and we're building programs. It's the very same thing, right? So we want to make sure that we make friends with selling. And what are the things that we need to let go of? Preconceived ideas. I remember Yvonne last week was saying something about the used car salesman idea. You know, if I'm hanging onto that image, and Dr. Seuss, there was that different level of letting go, remember? We learned about it with the stars on their bellies. I want it on, I want it off, I want it on, I want it off. So learning things about letting go in that. But then the deeper level, we're getting these messages, these stories that we don't even realize we're picking up. Sylvester McMonkey McBean, he's one of those bad guys who makes money. I'm not going to be like that. And we push it away into Asia, right? So do we have any stories inside us that we could let go of? So that we create an opportunity. What if we could fall in love with the sales part of what we do? Because isn't that the deepest gift when we're giving somebody the opportunity to step into something bigger? So please make sure you take the time to fill out the survey. You could do it in a short time. You could take as much time as you want. And I promise you, I don't use that word very often. It will be worth your while to take that snapshot of what's going on for you. And then we'll leap in from there. All right. So, Influence Mastery, please add a date to your calendar. It is July 13th from 2 till 3:30 Mountain Time, because we're going to have a watch party for day one of the of Influence Through Story before we dive into our Q&A call. So it's a watch party that I will be leading July 13th, 2 till 3:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Please put it on your calendar. We're going to have lots of fun with that. Actually, you know what? It's in the announcements from 2 till 3:30, but that's not true. It should be 2 till 4. Right, please put it in. So it's in my notes here, but it's 2 till 4. And Yvonne, if you'll add that, because we're gonna have watch and then we're gonna have time for Q&A afterwards, like time for noticing what we notice in that. So please block off from 2 till 4. If you can't make it live, don't worry. Of course, we'll have the recording for you, but it would be really great. It will really serve you. Influence makes things so much easier. When we're influential in that win-win-win way, we get to have an impact on our world and uplift and be the uplifters that we're meant to be. And so it's a very special opportunity. If you can make it live, I strongly encourage you to do so. All right. Monthly support call. Remember that each month you have the ability to have a 30-minute call with Marie. And she is freaking awesome. She has changed my life countless times. You don't want to miss it. This is just our over delivery to you. If you came in, for instance, at Story Freedom, we didn't even mention this to you. We just like giving you stuff, right? And this is, you know, an extraordinary opportunity. So at meetingwithmarie.com, you can book those calls at meetingwithmarie.com. We also have our next Story Freedom Date. If you're listening to my words now, if you're in the community, then then you have a bonus ticket to Story Freedom. And it's November 16th to 18th. Please make sure you have those dates on your calendar. And we have a couple of questions on deck. I want to get to them in a minute. But I have a really important other announcement to make. Any questions? That was all clear about the announcements, right? Y'all got it? All clear? Okay. I have the most special announcement of all, although all those are important. All those will serve and support you on your journey. But we have another new renewing member of our community who has decided to leap in once again at the Diamond Elite level. And I am just so happy for her and so proud of her and so excited for our community. that she's continuing on her client journey. She's both a team member and a client and a member of our Love Your Words community. And we are here together actually in the Canadian Rockies. That's why I'm in a different place as part of her Diamond Elite Retreat and for this year. And she's just leapt in for another year. So will you please join me in welcoming Yvonne to another year of Diamond Elite. You can unmute for this. Like, yay, Yvonne. Congratulations. I'm so happy for you. Yay. I'm so proud of you.
Amazing.
So Yvonne, and because we're in the same place, that's probably might be why we were having some trouble with the sound. She's just over there behind me, over by the windows. We got a beautiful, beautiful place here in the Rockies. And so Yvonne, you know what's coming. This is not your first go, you know, walk in the park. So I would love it if you would share, no obligation, but I suggest that you do. And I'm going to mute while Yvonne talks so we don't get screeching. We always want to know what that leap is. What is it that, thank you. I'm not sure even, I can do that, Yvonne. So what is it that made you decide to leap so we can get that leaping energy, understand it, embody it, know it for ourselves? All right, I'm going to mute first, and then Yvonne, it's all yours.
Thank you. Thank you, Michelle. Well, some might call it insanity. Oh. Yes. Because I had to mute my computer audio to stop all the feedback and everything. So, some might call it insanity. Some may say, are you a slow learner? And for me, it's it's more a I'm crazy if I won't do this for me, because I'm a constant learner. I've received so much support from Michelle over the years and from the community to grow my business, to get it to different levels, to change some of my stories, take stings out of my stories, mold some of my stories in ways that I didn't even think was possible because they were so ingrained in me. I would just tell them because I could. And now there are stories that I don't even repeat anymore because they're no longer part of my life. And because of all of that, I know that I've, evolved, so tremendously over these last several years that I've been in the community that, leaving the community is just not an option. I think it's just as simple as that. And I just, I just love the work. I love what, Michelle presents. Of course, I've seen that Michelle's work evolve over the years. And it's, it's taking me to deeper and higher and bigger and better levels. And I just want that, journey to continue. So there's really no hesitation in me to do anything else but be here. So yeah, that's it in a nutshell.
Thank you so much. Thank you, my friend. I just, what I hear so much in that is clarity. Can you hear it? Clarity, certainty, knowing what serves, knowing what creates the openings in the path, letting go of the old stories, heading toward the new and knowing that this is a continually opening path. I just, so beautiful. Thank you so much, so very much. Thank you for sharing. All right. We have, again, some, Mary Kay is our poster woman for posting questions. So I always want to encourage you to post questions. And sometimes I get it. Sometimes we just want to hear the other questions and we just want to hear the material and take the time to absorb it for ourselves. And that's okay too. If that's how you learn, there's space for that. And then also always know that you can post questions. Always know that then whatever is you're playing with on the court right now, And it doesn't have to be connected with the material we're learning. You don't have to think, well, I have to think of a letting go question. I need to know all about Devasia before we're learning it. For instance, last week, and Andrea says like, oh, that was like a fire hose, you know? So whatever it is, there are no wrong questions. There are only great questions, all questions welcome. And it could be from anything. There are, we sometimes rule out, well, that's just happening in my home, so I can't ask about that. But that's a story, and it might be directly, absolutely direct. Like, Yvonne, can I tell them one of the, like you say, don't tell stories. Can I tell them what the one was about? Just the one word? Yvonne had a story about Brussels sprouts. She doesn't tell it anymore. You know, it's like, we never know what the stories are that are holding us back, and that what could be opened up for us, for our lives, for our companies, for our clients, for what we're building. So all questions always welcome. So let's take a look. We'll go to the questions first. And today, strangely enough, I wonder if I can do this so that I can see the questions, because they're not usually like that. They're not usually on my screen over here. So give me 1 second. I didn't think to set this up first. I think I can do this, but... because I'd like to be able to see you while I'm looking at the questions, but I might or might not be able to. Let me see. Make that small. Give me 1 second to play here because it's cutting off my questions. Oh, there it is. Okay, yay. Just need that window bigger. That's why I usually print them out. Okay. Yay. And now I can see all of you and the questions. Fantastic. All right. So Mary Kay says, for my virtual conference talk shared with another trainer, what if the end in mind is for the people in the audience to go and listen to my own individual talk at the same conference? Would this work? Absolutely, it can work. If that's what you think is most strategic, if that's like always you want one action, what's the best action for them to take? And so that's happened, for instance, one of the places I've seen it used the most, you guys probably know I'm a fan of eWomen Network. They're a wonderful heart-centered organization. And sometimes what's happened is there's a talk on the main stage, so where there's 1,000 people in the audience, and then there's going to be a breakout room. And in that breakout room, there, you know, some people might be interested in the offer. And they don't want to give it to all the people in the room. So the biggest call to action from the main stage will be, listen, if you're interested in asking questions about our SOAR program and what we do there, and, you know, that's at a, you know, that's after a whole deep dive, and you know, you're not usually going to go to a call like that. Come and learn about my program because it's probably too early. You want to date before you get married. But there, where they've already been teaching and training people for a couple of days, for instance, and they've already heard about that program, but they're not going to offer it from the main stage. They will, the call to action will be, hey, for those who want, make sure you come to this breakout room, because if you're interested in SOAR, we only have it open right now, it's going to be closed later, now's the time, come to the breakout room. And that is the most strategic thing to do, instead of offering in front of everybody where a whole bunch of people might not be interested, and then the people who are interested can't ask their questions. So yes, the thing that your question brings up, Mary Kay, is like, is about the call to action, and that there's always one. And I reverse engineer my talk, and what is the most strategic thing that I can have them do? And if you think it's that they should come to the other breakout room, like, then do that. If the only proviso I would give is that, are these the same people? Like, is it, hey, there's 100 people in the audience, for example, right? And then they all go to 5 breakout rooms and there's always 20 of them in the room. I know it's not that, it's more than that, but let's say it was. And then these 20 came to hear me already. And then it's not any different in scenario. It's just like, and now I'm going to speak again. And so like, then they might go, well, why did I come here and how is that different? And you got to build that story. So, and if the topic is like, let's say there's 100 people in the audience and you think these 20 will come over here and a different 20 will come over here, but I'd like to have them come along as well. So I rather than giving you a yes or no, the yes is yes, of course, that can be used. Then the next level question is that my very best call to action? if I think these people are of a different sort, and it's other kinds of people that I want here because it's a different subsegment of my audience. And I really would like to get these people on my list so we can start a conversation with them. Always the first call to action that I would think about is how can I encourage them to be on my list? How can I encourage them to be on my list so that it's not just a once and done, that now we have a conversation. So, and that's always a free gift. And we'll be talking about how to build the free gift, as you know, in August, but you don't have to wait till then to build it. So my first instinct is always, let me give a free gift and now we have a conversation. If there's some overriding reason to do something else, yes, you can do that. Mary Kay, does that help?
Maybe. the audience is going to be mostly dog and horse people. And so that's why I was thinking I could direct, that could be my end thing, is to direct the horse people to come over, and then they get my individual call to action from my horse talk.
I would just, and remind me again, Mary Kay, when you're doing this talk?
November, we have to, it's recorded, so I have to turn it in, I think, in September.
Right, so that's great. Like if you were, I would give a different suggestion if you were, and it's actually a good idea, I just realized that, to let me know when the talk is. I knew that, but I'd forgotten in the moment. Because if you were giving it tomorrow, I'd give different advice, and if you've got some time. Make sense? So if you've got some time to think about it, I would do a deep dive inside you, which you're really great at, Mary Kay. And for all of you, each one of you, if you've got more time, you're going to do different things, right? So what is the most strategic action for them to take? And if there's any way in that room that right here, right now, I can have them, like, is it coming from small self that I think I can't do it because I've got, it's a little tangled up co-presenting with this person. So I have to move them over to my own room. If one possibility is this coming from small self. Oh, I don't think I can do it. So I'm just going to move them over here. And it's probably not going to be the most successful if I'm coming from that place. If it's coming from big self, it's like, I know that I want to get these 20 people and the other 20 people, or whatever the numbers are, 200, it doesn't matter the numbers, but, and I want to put them all in a room because I want to gather that energy, and I know I can do it. And I know I can get every single one over there because I'm feeling confident. I'm good, and I'm going to do my stuff, you know, that's going to have a different result. So it's not a once and done answer, right? Not a cookie cutter answer. If I think that in that room, I can have them have my free gift, so I'm not tied up with the other person trying to do something afterwards. If I can do something simple that says, hey, everybody in this room needs my free gift, right? And I know that that might be, like we said, Michelle, you can only take them to one thing. And how do we get them to go to two things? But one of the ways you were talking about was having just a separate talk. I do my part of the talk over here in half of the time, and she does her part of the talk in half of the time. If that's the case, then it's just a mini talk that I'm doing. And then I'm not even thinking about that other person, really. We want it to be coherent for the audience, but I know you will serve. You'll always serve. So then all I've got is if I'm sending them over there, I might be taking two speaking opportunities and turning them into one. And why did I do that? Sometimes it's strategic, like in the way that I mentioned, but sometimes it's like, hey, I've got everybody who decided to come over here. I want them to get my free gift. And everybody who decided to is over, who came over here, I can get them my free gift too. More people will say yes, because I've got two chances. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So then my first instinct would be to give them a free gift and start a conversation with them. And the other advantage to that is that the main aim of that talk can be to give them your free gift in that first talk, if you've just divided it up so that they're not confused, because hey, when Mary Kay is talking, the one action I'm taking is to get her gift. So I'm not confusing the audience then, right? With multiple calls to action, and then nobody does anything. So so then they got the free gift, and there could even be people in the audience who came to this, but they haven't quite got it yet. It's like, I thought I wanted the free gift, but I forgot, or my son texted me right at that moment, or people get distracted, right? So the call to action, I'm saying one call to action always, but now I'm going to say the leg up yoga move, next level. If you're not out there speaking a lot, only hear that one thing that I said, one call to action, all right? But Mary Kay, you've been on a lot of stages before. You can consider this because it's just a tweak. You can do the one call to action, my whole talk, it's aimed at that you know, giving them that free gift that they get right there on the spot, because they won't do it later. Find some way that they get it right there on the spot. And then toward the end, and you have to do it in a way that honors your co-speaker, right? But at the end, because they will forget if it's partway through, you just add it in as a by the way. You know, so it's kind of like there's two calls to action. It's sort of more complex level, but no, the main call to action, your talk revolves around giving them that gift. And then you just add in the, I've so loved being with you guys. By the way, I just wanted to let you know, I'm going to be speaking at 2 o'clock too. I hope you guys are going to be there, because I already have them get the gift, right? And then afterwards, by the way, you know, and so, and if anybody has any questions about this or about the talk coming up, but don't do it in any way that's disrespectful to your co-speaker. But come up and ask me, because then maybe there's somebody who came to this, didn't quite get the free gift because their son texted them. They come to the second talk and then they've come to both and then they get the free gift. And you've had two chances to offer it to them, for instance. So I'm leaning pretty heavily, I guess, in that direction, but it's not wrong to do it the other way. But that would be my first instinct, unless there's some other reason to do it otherwise. Okay. Mary Kay has another couple of great questions. It said, if this is helpful to you, like, wait, when I'm speaking, I'm really remembering only one call to action. Or wait, free gift is a thing because I want to start, like, there's many things for us all to learn, right? Or even, hey, when I'm talking to my kid, only one call to action, right? Not does this apply, how does this apply? Hey, I want you to go make the bed and go to text your friend the way you haven't texted yet. They won't hear any of it. We know that. And we forget. In our businesses, right? This is helpful to you. If you were able to go, yes, this applies to me too. When you think about it, raise your hand. I just want to see, are you hearing it for yourselves? Fantastic. Okay. A couple more quick questions. So what free gift should I offer for my conference talk I'm giving with another person? Should it be a free gift from both of us? I'm still not clear on this, and I may not have understood what you said before. Well, we're already kind of addressing that question, right? The reason I was saying what I said before, and I don't want to cause confusion, is the point about there's only one call to action or people get confused. But my strong advice is not to build anything together. And thank you for your honesty and vulnerability in your Facebook posts about this, Mary Kay. It is a complex move to be doing a talk with somebody else. It looks simple, it is not. And so I encourage you, you know, each one of you, and if you're already doing it, fantastic, a wonderful learning opportunity. If not, and maybe that's the only way to get on that stage, if you're speaking with somebody, there's all kinds of reasons you might want to do that, but trust yourself, honor yourself, and do your own work. And until you've given your one signature talk that you've perfected by giving it 100 times over, and you've taken that free gift, and you've now had clients come to you, and you're at least, for everybody here, at least over the six-figure mark, it's like, and maybe even more, I wouldn't think about doing something with somebody else unless there's a really good overriding reason to do it. Because as you've bumped into Mary Kay, it's like, oh, it's lots of moving parts, right? But the best thing to do then is to turn it into a singular talk, because you only want one action and you don't want to create a joint gift or something like that. I think that's where I may have caused confusion, because there could be one opt-in page, but even that's more complex than what I'm saying now. One opt-in page, get Mary Kay's and get hers, you know, so that they, and still always wanting to do them, have them do one thing. But a way better thing is to just divide up the talk. Yours is here, and then we do what we always do. Am I making more sense now, Mary Kay? Have you heard it that time? Thank you for returning back to that question.
I think so. Yeah. I give one gift, she gives one gift. If she wants to, and I have one, and she has one, right?
Yes. But in order to do that, the reason that gets complex is you can't, like, you can, if you're able to divide up the talk, so you have your time and she has her time, that's perfect.
We do, except that it may get a little muddled in the Q&A session. Uh-huh. But I'll have to just look out for that. But I won't do this again.
it's great learning experience, right? You know.
Well, actually, I might. I don't know. It's a way to get more coverage at the conference. So
yeah, one of my teachers years ago told me not to do it. I did it anyway because I had to learn my own way. And that's like, it's really hard. I don't think I'll do it that way again. Doesn't mean it can't work. It means we need to know that there's way more moving parts. And that if there's just an easy option, if somebody had said to you, you could have this slot and you could just speak on your own or speak with somebody else, just do it you. If it's like, hey, you can get an extra slot when you speak with this other person, there could be reasons we want to do that. But just know there's way more moving parts, and that some people want to, as I said in the Facebook, in our Facebook group, as your work expands, more and more people are going to want to play with you and do stuff with you, each one of you. Yes. And so then it's letting go of what seems like that opportunity to really focus on and trust your own work. And again, doesn't mean there aren't reasons to do it sometimes, but thank you, Mary Kay, for modeling the complexities for us, right? Thank you.
Yeah, it's because I just said, she asked and I said, oh yeah, of course. And no, I won't do that again.
You know, and we learn stuff, and there's nothing wrong with doing it. You'll learn a ton in doing it. Yeah, Heidi, go ahead.
Yeah, on the same question, I don't know, I think it's the same question. One thing I was envisioning, I'm going to be starting a monthly program, 25 minutes for me, to be held on the 25th of every month. And I would, it would, me bringing in special needs parents and starting to develop community and a safe space, and then eventually educate them. One of the things I've been envisioning for down the road was to have guest experts who speak to different topics, but through the lens of how does this expert have impact on the autism moms? You know, so if it's an organizer, organizing through that lens, if it's whatever kind of therapy through that lens. But this is fascinating because I'm thinking, am I potentially confusing people if, wait a minute, I'm the expert, and now I'm bringing in somebody who I saw as complimentary to me, but would it be confusing? And would she come to this and say, wait a minute, who am I listening to? And who's the host? And wait, and you want, what do you want me to do? And this, I'm not going to buy from anybody because this is confusing. Is this idea of bringing in guest experts the slippery slope that I hear you describing for Mary Kay?
So this is why I love when you ask questions, right? Because it helps everybody. So thank you for this question. And like, why not save you all 6 months off your journey? You know, because whether you're bumping into this now or bumping into this later, we all bump into this. The more we're out there, the more people are going to be wanting to do stuff with us. And I remember the time that happened, it was years ago, when all of a sudden people are all asking me to do stuff. And at first I'm like, that sounds great. And then it disperses our energy. And so it's, I don't ever want to be a dream stealer with any of you guys. You want to do something, you know, and you're excited about it, go ahead and do it. And then, but just come and ask questions here and let's save you some trouble. And it's not that that's wrong to do, but it's just like, why am I doing it? And will it confuse people? And have I done a deep dive and trusted my own work enough so that the message is clear? And for all of you, if you think about story freedom, I've been to many, many multi-speakers of events. I've spoken at multi-speaker events. And those are, in my view, even though it seems easier because there's a whole bunch of people and so you don't have to do all the work or something, that's at the surface level. They are way harder to pull off well because the story that runs across it has to be coherent. So we need to know a lot if we're going to do it well about how that coherent story gets created. Otherwise, it turns into, and I don't know all the details of how you're setting up, Heidi, but feel free to ask a follow-up question about it, right? I hope it's not happening, you know, tomorrow or whatever, right? And if it is, you know, just, yeah. So lean in, always lean in with community, but, and lean in with questions. But so if you've got some time to think about it, that's where people experience it as a pitch fest.
Well, I think I was thinking not to have several people at once, but, you know, in a given month, one guest who I would be the host, I would be asking questions, and then they would be providing a tool that the audience can take away and use.
Yeah. And again, so I would encourage you to think about it. Think of what you've heard. Post the question for next time. You can post it in the Facebook group, post it, tag me, text me. And so, and you can post questions too, even when you can't be there live, and I'll answer it even when you're not there live. So there's lots of ways to ask questions and keep this question running, as Mary Kay has with this one. So you get more and more nuanced levels of answers as we, you know, cut through the beginning stuff. And so, and I will just tell you, for instance, like years ago, I hired Stephen Dine, and he's got an 8-figure company and super heart centered. I really liked his work, so I hired him for a business consult. And at that time, many years ago, I was thinking of hosting, and it's one opinion, but the guy's really smart, super heart centered. And one of the things I was considering was a telesummit, and his advice was similar to what I'm saying now. He's like, Michelle, don't do it. Like, he was actually very, don't do it. Like, he was very blunt. I decided not to. Don't do it because you are showcasing everybody else's work. You want to grow your company. And it's not selfish for each of us to grow our company. We have powerful work to do in the world. And if we disperse our energy, he's like, don't do it. You're always showcasing somebody else. And yes, it can bring us expertise to be the one who's bringing together the experts, but it is a more nuanced moves that are needed when we can do some things that are much simpler, like the right things at the right time in the right order. And I have a series called Empowering Stories for Entrepreneurs, and we do it maybe once a year where I bring in 4 speakers, but we work really hard to craft the story so that we're showcasing them and also showcasing this work. It is a nuanced level of story. Why would we start by working that hard? Why not instead? And sometimes it comes from a lack of trust in our own work. It's like, make the free gift, go out there and speak, do a strategy session with somebody, have them come in and do the work. Like, it's the simple things over and over and over again that have us build so much more quickly. And then again, if there's some nuanced question about, what I'm aiming at is this thing. So to that end, what should I do? It's like, what is it that I'm trying to accomplish with it? Right. So there's a beginnings of an answer to that. And so Mary Kay, thank you. Heidi, thank you. Great questions. All right. So I've got a couple more questions on deck. They're so good. Thank you for your questions. And then I've got some training that I want to give you today, our last piece of letting go. So let me get to the other couple of questions here. Thank you for this. Heidi, does that at least give you a start?
Yes. And I'll follow up another time. It sounds like if I'm going to do that, it might not... upon first meeting me, it might be something down the road or for paid subscription or something once they're already mine. And
you want to decide what it is, like, always begin with the end in mind. Why am I doing this particular action?
Yes.
What's it going to achieve? And is there an easier route there? Because when we do that, we have energy to build what we're building. So Mary Kay, thanks for the question. Heidi, thanks for the follow-up. Mary Kay, is this making sense with this last question? Good. Okay. Mary Kay's last question. Should I be including more about including the words mindfulness and meditation in decorating the door? Decorating the door is what we say to those people who don't know the work yet. And then you guys are inside the party. I'm going to say different things than when we're decorating the door, because some people out there won't be ready to hear this. If people had just met me, or Michelle might, they may be going, Michelle doesn't like people to work together. She must be a real, like, you got to do it as a loner person, if they only heard a snippet of this conversation, right? I'm not saying that. We all, of course, want to work together on the planet, right? So we decorate the door with what people need, right? Or what people want. And how do we do that? So that's Mary Kay's language, decorating the door. So she says, should I be including more of the mindfulness and meditation decorating the door with my free order? Lately, more animal behaviorists seem to be associating me with meditation. They seem to be expecting more about this from work they've seen me do, but is this more inside the party? Great question. Here we're inside the party, over there decorating the door. And one thing that I would just have you thinking about, Mary Kay, and then go ahead and post a follow-up question if you have more on this, but part of the background that I bring is 20 years of Iyengar yoga experience, and most of that as a teacher and trainer as well. I don't decorate the door very much that way. Does that make sense? If you arrive, for instance, at influence through story, you know, there's not very much decorating the door about the yoga background, but even a little bit inside the party, I'm going to mention some pieces of it. Because if somebody goes, oh my goodness, people who do yoga, they are earth destroyers and I hate them all. And then they've come quite a ways in and they go, wow, you know, back off, Michelle. Like, you know, we've engaged in a conversation that's not going to be productive in the end because there's a big mismatch. So I'm going to make sure to seed some pieces of it. So if you read my Anatomy of an Empowering Story, for instance, I talk about one of my clients and how I just had her stand differently and it changed the story. And anybody who's really turned off by that, early on will know to go to get help somewhere else. So I'm going to seed pieces of it so that there's not some bait and switch, so people aren't surprised. And also I'll talk about, hey, I'm not much for, you know, story formulas. If you're looking just for fill in the blanks, you know, you're not going to be happy here. We did some deep level story work. So that's going to come not right away decorating the door maybe, but fairly soon in. And I don't do very much with the yoga early on because I start with something that I know a problem that people have. My signature talk is stories that sell. If somebody wants to sell, and it's not the only talk that I have, but it was the only one that I did for many years, just one, and really get it to work, right? So somebody wants to sell something, that means they have a company, right? They would like to sell more. They're interested in growth. They know that that makes a difference, right? They're not completely sales averse, so they wouldn't show up to something that's about sales. And it's like stories that sell. They probably have some idea that story has something to do with it. They know that there's a next level that they're not hitting. And whether they knew it before or not, they know it in the title that stories have something to do with selling. And then they want to show up. And then part of the how-to is like they'll experience it as a how-to. If you really want to sell, you have to understand, and we're going to dive into that next week too, right? You have to understand the stories that are inside the person in front of you. If you want a rehearsed blurb that you're going to spit all over somebody, go to somebody else, you know? In order to listen to that person, we need to be centered as a human being, you know? I mean, those are some of the foundational teachings, but I'm not going to decorate the door with all of it. I'm going to drop some seeds in so that people aren't going to be hugely feel like a bait and switch later on. Make sense, Mary Kay?
Yes. So my colleagues are sort of jumping the gun or something. They've heard me talk about, or maybe have talked individually about the mindfulness and meditation. And then they want me to talk to people that don't know. I mean, they want me to talk about that. They expect me to talk about it. And I was like,
right. And that's also the messages you're putting out there then, right? So how do you want to decorate the door, and what do you want to be known for? What do you want to be known for? For me, it's the word story, you know? And because we can't be known for everything. And it's like, if you go to an event and somebody says, I'm a chiropractor, but I also decorate homes. And I also teach how to grow flower gardens. And I also have a business I'm running with my husband, we sell homes. Can I help you? Are you actually going to listen to them? You won't listen to anything they say because it feels like they're not an expert in anything. And let's say you're looking for a realtor and the person beside them, and you're looking for a mansion, I guess, in Southern California. And the person beside them says, I'm a realtor and I specialize in mansions in Southern California. You know, right? There's no contest, and we can see that when it's in that gross form, but we miss it. It's like, what is the exact thing that I want to be known for? You know, influence through story has to do with that too. You know, like what is the thing I want to be known for? And then I build that, and then there can be a mixed message. So what exactly, what's the one word, the phrase? Is like Mary Kay, she does that. And if they're thinking you're one thing, but you really want it to be something else, then that means decorating the door differently, right? Just as far as these are great questions. I'm diving deep into them. Well, don't worry. There still will be time for all the core training that I want to give you. There's one core piece about letting go that I want to give you, all right? I'm letting go of my agenda, diving into these questions deeply, all right? It's okay. We'll get there. Don't worry. All right. And Heidi, thank you for posting. Heidi says, my son is graduating from high school next Thursday, so I'll be missing the wonderful Sales of Story retreat. I'm needing to let go of the story that I will be doing irreparable harm of my entire year of learning. I'd love Michelle's and the community's support in letting go of this idea. Heidi, thank you for this. Great question. Here's the thing. I want you to think about this year as, and for all of you, there's tons of support here. All these things are designed to serve and support me. And I will pick them up as I pick them up, and everything happens for a reason. That reason is there to serve me. And so I listened to it in the recording, and who knows what gifts that might bring. Now, always I'm going to encourage you to be there live, but if you can't be, and here's a great example of, you know, no, I think you should just leave your son, tell him to graduate himself, you know, right? I mean, we're not going to do that. It's one of those, that's a good reason, right? So let's say you were that person. Forget it, son. I don't care about you. I'm going to go learn about sales. And I'm going to learn how to sell stuff at people. Like, I mean, the heart-centered thing to do is to be with your son and be with your family then. And so, yes, letting go. That's why we have this series, because we can't do everything at once. I used to go to the folk festival many years ago, and I go, oh my goodness, there's 14 tents. I'm missing 13 of them. No way to live. I'm there. I dive into that, at the music in that one tent, and all that's happening over there doesn't matter. At that moment, it doesn't matter. I am fully present where I am. And that's the gift. And we never know where the lessons come from. The biggest lesson might have been from the sound being scratchy today. We don't know what the most important thing is. And here's another example from a different area. It's part of my yoga journey. In 2006, I was in a car accident with my daughter in the back seat on the highway. We were fine, had a little bit of whiplash. And so for a while in 2006, I could not do headstands. Now, I used to teach headstands, variations, shoulder stands, variations, all that stuff. And in about a month after, it was about 6 months, I had to rebuild my practice. And about a month after, a senior teacher came in to teach us. And all the experienced students and teachers, she's like, okay, everybody who does handstand in the middle of the room, headstand in the middle of the room, go, we're going to do, right? And it was ego in me. I'm like, that's me. I know how to do that. She's not going to know that I know how to do that. I so wanted to be there with ones because that's me. It's just my neck is not working right now, you know? That was, there's many moments in all my yoga trainings that I have forgotten. I remember that moment of letting go. That was the most profound thing I learned over that weekend, for sure. I'm not over there doing that headstand in the middle of the room. And this is the most important thing to learn right here, right now. Changed my practice. How wonderful that you get the opportunity to actually enact the Letting Go series right afterwards. Next level. And again, I'm not encouraging you all to then just not show up. When you can, show up live. But wherever you are, be fully present. And then when you come to Heidi, and for all of you, when there's a piece that you have to miss or hear or in something else, right? We can only be in one place. Actually be there in that one place. And then when you listen to those recordings and post your questions, you'll have done the survey, post 10 questions, you know? And then have the fun of watching me, you know, work to answer them, and then also make sure that I've given you all the material, a little bit like today, turning a bit of a Q&A call, right? That's fun. Just play with it, have fun with it. And know that it's a marathon, not a sprint. Perfect opportunity to let go. I told you that a few years ago, my letting go is, I'm teaching letting go series and Amanda died. I'm like, oh, okay. I need to learn more about letting go. The universe gives us all kinds of opportunities. There's another one. And there will always be, we'll come around different concepts again. And maybe it's going to be, we never know. Like maybe there's somebody else who can't be there live that day. So you'll go through it together, and you're going to meet your next closest friend for the next 30 years. You don't know why the universe hands us these things. Helpful?
Very. And just what you said about be present where you are. That's why I came today. That reminder.
Yeah.
How much will my life be enhanced for the rest of my life if I am present where I am?
Thank you. And spoiler alert, there's going to be pieces that will connect with that when we do sales a story, of course, because we're often not present and we want to learn that. And that is the deepest part of selling. It's not about pushing something on somebody. It's about listening, which is what we're about to talk about next. And to do that, there's a deep letting go that's needed. All right, so great, great questions. Two pieces of content left. Well, one and then a subsection for our letting go series. Let me just, I just want to grab my notes because I want to make sure that I cover some really key pieces for you, okay? I would love to hear one aha from one of you, from any piece that we've done. You might even, yeah, we're in the letting go series, like, Michelle, where's my stuff? There's supposed to be another thing that I'm going to be learning about letting go. And if we don't have time to do it, I will miss out and my company won't build. Like, what's wrong here, Michelle? Just notice that too, right? Oh, we just went into the questions. Don't worry, there'll be plenty of time. There's another level of letting go, right? Anything wanting to be said? Without which, yeah, Andrea, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, like, what you were saying. That sounded really loud. Okay. I love the transitions that you actually gave Mary Kay for doing sort of two calls to action, but how to do it without, it's a call to action, but very subtly, very nuanced. And I thought that was, I was listening to you and I'm like, oh, that's really well done. I really like that. So thank you to both of you for that.
Thank you for hearing it. Yeah. And that's again, if you haven't been out speaking, don't try to do that. Keep it really straightforward, one thing. But it's a way, it has to be hierarchical. The next level is to make it hierarchical. This is the real call to action. Oh, and then by the way, otherwise people won't hear. Yeah. So thank you for hearing that. Awesome. Okay. All right. So the last piece that I want to give you, letting go, we've talked about pulling things towards us and hanging on like the Zacks in Dr. Seuss. We've talked about pushing things away, right? Like the Sneetch is like, I need this. No, go that, make that go away. And then let me this, make that go away. And we push and we pull and we push and we pull. And the yogis say, we do that all the time and we suffer. So let's just stop it. And they don't say, we're going to, you know, teach you that you have to do this. It's just like, try it out, notice. And then why don't we stop suffering, right? And yes, we're human, we're still going to do it, but what if we could do it less? What if we could have more of a sense of humor when it happens? What if we could, any little piece that we could shift in this, and is life and company changing? And it's right at the heart of story. When Luke in Star Wars is saying, no, I can't go with you. I have to stay on the farm. It's not even his story. It's his uncle's story. And the adventure can't even begin until he lets go of, in this case, everything that he's known before to start on his adventure. And our spiritual stories, whatever spiritual tradition you come from, often have that. Like our stories are like that. Our movies are like that. Our spiritual tradition, the Buddha leaves everything behind to go on this adventure. Jesus leaves everything behind to go on this adventure. Our stories know that we need letting go. As long as we're clinging to stuff, the adventure can't happen, right? So we've been talking about raga, dvesha, pulling, pushing, our first two calls. And in this, our last call in the letting go series, I want to talk about listening. I want to talk about listening. And so the title of our call today, toward the end of our call, the key to connection, how to listen from the inside out. And it's going to form a great foundation for what's coming up in sales and story as well. Without this, I don't know how to create a sale in any authentic way. So I'm just looking for, my notes are a little different because I'm in a different place. I have a little list that I wanted to share with you. So it's on a different page. Where did I put my little list? That was here. Oh, yes, it is. Okay. I looked at it, but I looked right through it. Okay. Listening. Listening involves a huge letting go. We're only talking, and we can't let go of our talking. We can't listen, right? So I looked up a couple years ago, experts on listening, and it's kind of interesting. And I want you to just hear this. All these are helpful tips for listening. The last chapter of my PhD dissertation was called Listening Differently. I want to like get to this, but it's like, what else? What else? So what do you notice about these suggestions for active listening? And I pulled these off of different pages, but they're all kind of saying similar things, okay? Well, here are some things for active listening that we should do. What's the common thread? Well, we should pause and give the speaker space after speaking before we speak. We should be non-combative. Don't contradict what the other person says, add to it instead. These are all great suggestions, all good to do, right? Observe body language and adjust accordingly. It's why I like to see you. Like, how are you actually hearing it, you know? Don't interrupt, don't glaze over, don't stage hog. Be able to repeat somebody's words back to them so they know you've heard. And again, you will look all these up. These are commonplace, okay? Avoid distractions, focus on what they're saying. Sit close to the speaker, you know, and rely, right? It's like, be other directed and aware, be involved, actively respond to what they say. So all that's good. These are all great suggestions. You could look them up yourself. But if there's a common thread that runs through them, what do you notice about them? Can you hear it? You might hear different common threads than I hear, but what do you hear?
I kind of hear a manipulation of what you're doing to get them to speak, but not necessarily paying attention to what you're doing.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a manipulation of some kind of externals in order to achieve the activity of listening. Yeah, and there's, again, I think there's a deeper level, but it's like, okay, yeah. What am I doing?
There's that sense that you're giving them space to say what you want to hear next versus give them space to present what they need so that you have space to hear it and process it.
So sometimes I'm just waiting for the thing that I want to say, and I'm not really, even though I'm doing these things, I still might not be listening. Okay, cool. What, you know, because I'm just waiting for my thing that I want to say. So I could do all these things, and still there's maybe another level to listening, even though all those things could be really good. Okay, cool. What else did you, anything else you want to add? Heidi, did you have your own?
Yeah, I guess it just struck me as very ironic. I realize it's from different sources. None of it has to do with your ears.
Yeah.
It's all about what are they doing and then you react. What are they doing and then you react. It's not, what am I hearing?
I love this. And all these words are trying to get at, like, to me, and I hear you hearing that, I think there's something deeper here. There's something else. I know that everybody in this room, if you know the difference when you've been profoundly listened to, for instance, and when somebody's not listening at all, can you tell the difference? Raise your hand. You know that there's something going on and you can feel it, even if you can't name it, right? Or you don't know exactly what it is. And these suggestions, and again, you can Google them, they all have the similar kinds of ideas, but there's something like, they talk about, Heidi, you said, you know, like it doesn't have to do with your ears. There's language out there too about hearing the act, like the physical act of hearing versus actually listening. Like those are not the same things, right? So it's not just our ears. The thing that strikes me so much for me, so I love what you had to say. Like this, and again, these are all good. I hear you hearing that too. Like, I think you're hearing that, right? They're good. But what else? And for me, as I explore this, as I look at this, as I'm seeing what people are saying, to me, all these are still external. Remember, I called this today the key to connection, how to listen from the inside out. They all feel external to me. They're trying to get at something by seeing what people do on the outside almost then and mimic it and imitate it. Let me just pull some off the page. And actually, can I get a volunteer who doesn't mind not being listened to in the moment for illustration's sake? If you're feeling strong, don't do it if you're not feeling strong. And I'd just like to have a little conversation for a moment and just play with it a little bit. Who's feeling strong? I'm actually not going to listen to you probably, all right? I'm warning you. So who would be willing to play for just a minute? Thank you, Marnie. Okay. The first thing said, pause, give the speaker space after they speak before you speak. Okay, Marnie, go ahead.
Well, this morning I was hosting a meeting, or I was supposed to be hosting a meeting, and I was there, but only one person showed up. So I'm not sure if it was that my link didn't work or if people were busy and worked out.
I don't know if you're in gallery mode and you can see me, right? I just realized I'm in gallery, might not be able to see me, right?
I don't know if you're
feeling listened to by me.
No.
I was pausing, I wasn't saying anything. You should have been feeling listened to, you know? Right? Even though it's a good suggestion, it's still not getting at the root of listening. Okay, let's try another one. Let's see if we can play it. Observe body language and adjust accordingly. Who would like to play? Let's play with that one for a minute. Anyone want to play? Okay, Heidi, go ahead. Go ahead and say something. You might want to have to be in gallery mode right now so you can see us both. Okay, you know how we're playing here. Okay, go ahead.
So today I was in a meeting I can't even talk.
I'm just trying to do something. You're trying to see if I can mimic how she's like, I'm imitating her body posture. Shouldn't she be listened to right now?
You're kind of scaring me, Michelle.
I know, right? It's bad. It's so bad. But I'm doing what they told me to do. Maybe I'm just not doing it skillfully enough, but what I'm trying to say here is that there's a deeper level. There's another one, be non-combative. Don't contradict what the other person says. You know, we could do the same thing. I'll do it to myself right now. I'll play both parts just so nobody else has to do that. So no, that's going to be too hard. Will somebody do this with me? Last one. Who will play? Anyone want to play? Heidi's going, don't do it. Don't do it. That was bad. Andrea, go ahead. So I'm going to be non-combative. Don't contradict what the other person says, but add to it instead.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, it is okay right now. You're right. It is a really okay moment, Andrea. What else?
Thank you. I know that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Like, I love living in a world of gratitude. You're such a great person, Andrea. What else do you want to say?
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that a ton, that you appreciate me. Well, I'm appreciating you.
Oh, that's so
such
great.
A great thing to be able to
really
do.
Appreciative. I'm so glad that you talk about appreciation today, Andrea. Have I heard anything yet? Clearly nothing. So all of these, they're tactical. Do you get it? Even though they could be helpful, they can be helpful. We can even do these things and it can be helpful, but it's not getting at what's actually happening when we're really listening. And we can even break all the rules and actually listen to a person. I will ask permission to interrupt people. I have probably interrupted everyone in this room more than once. Many, Jen, with Yvonne, the most times of all, because it's been the longest journey, right? But sometimes out of a deep service, not listening at the surface, but there's something going on in that sentence and there's something underneath that we will hear together. And remember last week, Dawn said, when I met Michelle, it's like she heard me. And I probably interrupted her. I didn't follow all the rules. So what is it then? Letting go. Letting go is, and listening are deeply connected. I need to let go of the need to say something. I need to let go of needing that person to say it in a particular way. I need to let go of where I think the conversation should go. I need to let go of even the right postures or thinking that I've got to do it in any particular way. Yes, maybe I'm going to lean in sometimes, but maybe I'm going to do the opposite. If I lean in with my dad, it'll probably scare him. He'll go like, what's wrong? You know, if I sat there with my arms crossed, you know, he'd probably feel comfortable. So I need to be able to let go, and I need to have the desire to actually listen to that person. I have to let go of my own agenda and actually listen. The key to connection, how to listen from the inside out. And what is it that's going to allow me to do that? I want to add the words, I like to call it big self. Remember, I've been teaching you about the kleshas. The yogis say they bind us. They make us suffer. They put us in fetters, in knots. And the kleshas, it actually means like a knot, right? So avidya, not knowing how big I am, is the first klesha. Then I have raga. I'm going to hang on to stuff. Dvesha, I'm going to push things away and more tangledness, right? If I don't know how big I am, the first klesha, if I don't know myself, and that you could hear me coaching Mary Kay a little bit around that. I don't know if it was that or not, but sometimes it's that. Maybe I'm starting to get bigger in my company and somebody comes up and maybe I'm even flattered, or I think that I don't have access to that without them. Or that might not have been what it was happening with Mary Kay, but it could have been. So I don't quite know all of myself in that moment. So I'm going to go and, you know, as people are starting to ask me to do work together, I'm going to go do that with them because I don't think enough of myself yet or whatever, right? So, or that I haven't stood for my own work, or each one of you has stood for yourself and made the leap here. So that's a moment of big self. And we can do the opposite of that small self in all kinds of ways. And we can bring our small self to a conversation. If I bring my small self to a conversation, I'm going to be afraid if it goes off track. I'm going to make sure that it's got to be on time. I'm going to make sure that it goes the way I have to control it. Make sense? So if I'm in big self, if I know all of who I am, if I come in unafraid, if I'm not attached and pushing and pulling and doing all that stuff, I can actually be curious about what that other human being actually has to say that is different from my own worldview. In story, it's point of view, shifting point of view, actually sitting in that person's shoes, actually being curious, actually wanting to know what it is they have to say and how they think and what matters to them, and a deep letting go. I want somebody to buy stuff, so they better say all the right things. You know, if you've ever been to one of those canned sales conversations, well, what's the most important thing that you want to do, or whatever it is, and you know that there's only one answer that you're supposed to give, and you feel constrained in the conversation, right? That's because they don't actually want to listen to you. What if I could know who I am at my core? Have ways to, and then that's what I was suggesting with Heidi too. It's like, when you know who you are, you won't be so afraid that you missed a piece. No worries, because you know the universe conspires to support you. That person that you're going to walk through it with is going to become your next best friend or your next client, or you'll become theirs, or they'll introduce you to the person that who will be the most important person to you like 5 years or 2 minutes from now. I have this deep trust and faith in the universe. I know that all is well. I know that if that person, I don't have a connection there, that maybe we will tomorrow, or there'll be another person that I connect with. I come from that place and I deeply let go of my own agenda. Then all these things are just the external representations of that thing happening. If I don't care about my own agenda, I'm not trying to push it. I don't mind pausing because I'm not in a rush to get to my own agenda. I'm non-combative because I'm not trying to prove that to them to something. I'm not trying to force them to think something. It's nothing like that. So these are the external manifestations. But when we get that core thing that it's a deep letting go. Listening involves a deep letting go. And how and when can we do that? When I know who I am at my core. I know that myself and my life and what I do, it's priceless. Then I can so much more easily listen. Thanks, Yvonne. I got it. So the key to connection, how to listen from the inside out. Even letting go of all those techniques about listening. Letting go of my agenda. Letting go of what I think needs to happen. Letting go of them liking or disliking me. Letting go at so many levels. Standing in my power. And then I'm going to hear them. And that is the foundation too. We do this right now because it's a foundation for sales as story. I'm not trying to push some kind of, I think of sleazy salesmen like Sylvester McMahon because he's trying to push something on somebody, and sales is nothing like that. It's a deep listening. I'm just trying to listen and then see if there's a fit between what I do and what that person's looking for. And then I get a chance to help. And then everything is so much easier. So we come to the end of the Letting Go series with a new way to think about listening. And then that forms the foundation for our day of sales as story. So we can grow our work, so we can grow our company, so we can help people that we're meant to serve on the planet, right? So one more piece I want to add just before we end with our ahas, our inspired actions. And that's that... Oh, there were a couple of things that came to mind too, and I'm just going to let them go. Right? I'm just going to let them go. I'll talk to you about that another time, and you don't need it to complete this, right? We're letting go all the time, aren't we? So how am I going to know that in myself? I just want to give you this in 1 minute, but it's so profound, it deserves a whole week. Three words: extreme self-care. extreme self-care is an act of letting go. Oh no, I can't stop because there's all these things to do in my company. And if I don't, everything's going to fail. Small self. I trust the universe. I trust it, the abundance of it. I trust that the universe conspires to support me. I know who I am. I can let go long enough to actually take care of myself and know that that's in deep service to the planet because I'll have better ideas. I will unplug. I'll think better. I'll act differently. I'll get a better idea for that next level of growth. So a part of how do we listen well? How do we listen differently? I know who I am. I let go of a whole pile of things. And because I know who I am, I stop to take deep care of myself. When I've done that, I'm not going to expect that other person that I'm listening to take care of me in that moment. I don't need it. I'm already full. I already know who I am. So I won't have to get them cut to the chase because I have to sell something today, or I have to look smart. So I want to solve this problem in front of that person who's watching me, or all that ego stuff, right? I'll just have space to really listen to that person. I'll be doing these actions that are the externals that people talk about on, if you go look it up online. I know who I am. I'm letting go of the agenda. I'm letting go of how it's supposed to go. I'm there genuinely, really with that person, seeing actually who they are, stepping into their shoes. And remember I said last time, Dawn said, Michelle, you know, why, what made me leap? Well, you listened. I felt heard. And I said, it's a skill. We can learn this and grow this. And here are some of the pieces of it. And it's uncommon knowledge, I believe, because we're usually looking to mimic the externals. But you know that I can lean in, I can repeat your words, I can give space and still not have heard a word you've said. Or I might interrupt, I might lean back, I might not give space, I may, and know that, and you will know that you've been heard. It's not about the externals, they are manifestations of what's inside me in my relationship to that other person. I let go of the need to speak, I let go of the need to impress them, I let go of so many things. I make a space for actually listening, and our companies are built on that foundation. Does it make sense that I say that? Why would that be? Because our companies are built on helping people and those interactions and communications with people. So letting go, no hanging on. And I'm not going to push and pull so much in that conversation. No, I want you to say this. No, it's not like that, right? No push, no pull. Let go of that. And when I notice it, I let go. Oh, wait, I was just pulling toward me. I'll let it go. I know who I am. The key to connection, how to listen from the inside out. I listen from the inside out. And I watch my company change and grow so much faster than I thought. Because I just see real human beings that I actually listen to and see if I can help. It should be so easy, but there's so much that gets in the way that we forget to be real human beings because we learn funny things. More to come next week. I'm so excited to see you there. Whether you're there live or you're catching it like I did in the recording, I encourage you to be there if you can. If your son's not graduating, I strongly encourage you to be there. And then just know and trust that there are others, for instance, right now who are listening to this in the recording. Hi, you know, they can't be here, but maybe it's because they're meant to be here in the recording, right? So, and we'll catch up to them when we do. And there's plenty of time. This is a year-long journey. I'm letting go of the need to get there yesterday. And I move there so much faster then. All right. So ending this call and this series. Great, great work, you guys. Great work. Whether you were here with questions, whether you were here actively listening and holding space for others, whether you were here taking in this material and connecting the dots for yourself, I see you. Great work. Wanaha, when inspired action to take us home, and I will see you for the day next week. And Heidi, don't forget to post pictures. I want to see it. I want to see the pictures. That's what our Facebook group is for. Heidi, you're in my upper left-hand corner. Wanaha, when inspired action.
The aha that hit me like a ton of bricks, cliche as that is it's all about loving the other person. caring about them with no agenda, receiving all of who they are and what they want to share in that moment. And that's all that matters.
I've got chills. And we can say those things, but when we actually know it, actually get it, and actually do that, it changes the face of our companies, our lives, our world. Thank you. And your inspired action.
At that graduation, I will be present.
Yes, you will.
Those in every way.
I know you will be. Absolutely. Thank you for that. Beautiful. Can't wait to see the pictures. Can't wait to see what comes out. Not like, where's my stuff? That'd be hanging on. But what comes out of this learning, like me not doing a headstand. Being there fully present, not being over here, being over there, and all of that, I think it's going to be amazing for you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mary Kay, you're next on my screen.
I guess my heart is sort of is letting go of myself for to give others the opportunity to step into something bigger. And my inspired action is self-care. I'm going to take a nap before the strategy call I have scheduled.
Can you hear the brilliance of that? What a perfect thing to do so that you can enact the exact things that we were talking about, right? Actually being present, actually listening. Fantastic. Yes. and Yvonne, are you putting in the chat because of our echoing? Is that what it is? Yvonne's aha. Life is constraint when you can't let go. Your inspired action, have a bath tonight before going to bed and eat ice cream to celebrate year three. Yes. Yay. So awesome. Teresa.
This series every week has been a very big, it would take a long time to explain, but coming from my big self and listening, I see more clearly than I did whether or not to invite students into my deeper group where we go full on and work like 8 to 12 hours a week on horsemanship. And I've learned to listen better as a result of it.
And look, I just interrupted you, but I was listening.
That's okay. It's a long story, but I can, to tie it up in a bow, coming from my big self, listen better.
Yeah.
To what the customer's looking for.
And exactly, because then actually, can I help? And if they're the wrong person,
can I help them there? Can I help? If you want, good job, honey, good job, honey, good job, honey, and just pay me the money, and I say, good job, honey, and you're happy with that, then I'm not that teacher.
So good to know, right?
Yeah. It's been a little interesting, but yeah, that's button it all up. That's what it is.
Love it. What's your inspired action, Teresa?
To continue to use those skills.
Yeah. And you know what?
I'm changing the program
That was the wind. Not used to this place.
I'm just changing the program because I'm saying it out loud because it evolved. I started it and it evolved.
Yes. And that's what we want our companies to be doing all is if we're growing, and our companies are going to be growing too.
Yeah. It didn't fit some people.
Yeah.
And I just need to be more cognizant and overt with what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Our companies are always growing and changing because we are. And we have the flexibility to do that when we're sitting in our big self. We're not going to go, oh no, we have to do it like this because that's how we've always done it. Fantastic. I love it. Thank you. Marnie.
So for the last 3 weeks, I've been going around my house singing Let It Go every time I get uptight about something.
Fantastic.
Yes. Or even have little kids in the house. It's Let It Go, Let It Go. I think the big aha that struck me today is, what do you want to be known for? Mm-hmm. And so I just put a note here is that I want to be known for holding space for others' dreams. And to do that, I have to learn how to listen. And so I'll put that into practice in the strategy session that I'm still working on, Yvonne, to meet my obligation. I'm halfway through one and then the person left. Long story. Came late, left early. But all I learned a lot from it. And,
all good learning.
And then still trying to connect with this other person to do that. But both of those are exercises in really listening. So this is timely.
Fantastic. And you know, we need to let go at that level as well. I want to be known for these 10 things because that's going to be more, right? Oh, I got to let go of these things and put my stake in the ground. It's this and choose. So it's another level of that letting go. Thank you for calling us back to that, Marnie. And so I can circle around and go, oh, there's letting go too, right? And your inspired action.
Well, was to put them into practice in my strategy sessions.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic. Thank you. So great to be here with you from the Canadian Rockies, new place, letting go of where I usually teach from. All right, we're always letting go. Thank you for being here. Thank you for bringing your wisdom, your heart. Thank you for both when you were speaking and when you were listening. I'm watching you the whole time, and you are amazing. You are incredible. Those who are here present, you guys listening afterwards, I see you here too, right? You know, amazing community. Remember to keep leaning in. Please remember to do the survey. Please remember to come on Thursday. Heidi, remember to have a fabulous graduation. Let it go. Let it go. Like Marnie around the house. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Have a great, great week, everybody. And we'll see you soon. Bye-bye for now.